We're here on Daf Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, and if you're looking at the wide lines, we're counting down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mori Minohani Milsa Di Amri Inchi Kalba the Kafne Glole Mivla. What is the source for this phrase, this idiomatic phrase that people commonly use, that a dog that's hungry would eat even, would swallow even stones? Now we have a phrase, you know, I was so hungry I could eat a horse, meaning that whatever you give to a hungry person, he'll eat. Even if it's not tasty, it's not sweet. And the answer is the chsiv. Rabbah quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, nefesh sveya tavus nofes, v'nefesh re'eva kol mar mosok. It's a person who is satiated can't eat anything, even something that's very tasty and that normally would be enjoyable to eat. But a hungry person would eat even something that's bitter, which under normal circumstances he would never want to eat, and it's considered for him like something sweet. If you take a look here in the Mefarshim, what they point out is that this is a metaphor for what we call a nefesh sveya. The word tavus means to trample on something. And a nefesh sveya, if the body is full and it feels no room, there's no room in the stomach for food, it will trample even on something that's edible, something that's sweet. And nun pei tuf here, the word nofes here, refers to something that's sweet. And that you'll find in the pasuk, in Tilim Nofes Tzufim. And the Mitzudas Tzion in Mishlei says that Misha Mara Atzmo Kisavea, if a person, this is all a mashal on Divrei Torah, that if a person shows himself as if he's full, he's satiated, he's Eino Misava L'Divrei Torah. He has no desire to hear Torah. And therefore, af ha-tamim ha-misyashvim al-alev einam chshuvim lo. Even if you give him something which is so palatable, it's so acceptable, he doesn't care about it. But misha mis'ava l'divrei Torah, if someone has a true, genuine desire for Torah, then af dvorim ha-boim lo b'merirus v'yigia, even if he has to work hard, it's almost bitter, misukim he-metzlo, nevertheless, he appreciates it. Rava asks another question. Omale Rava L'Rava Bar Mori Minaha Milsa Diamri Inshi. What is the source for that phrase? Mitayel V'Ozel Dikla Bisha Gabikina Desarche. Mitayel means a person who goes out on a trip, he's on a hike, v'holech, and he walks. And dikla bisha means a dekel ra, in other words, a date tree that's not healthy, it's not producing well. And relative to other trees, it would be considered something batel. This is what we call usually an ilan srak. This is a tree that doesn't have the capacity to produce fruit. And the meaning of this phrase, al pipshuto, is that where do you find a dekel ra? You find him amongst the lonos srak, which really means that if this dekel ra is symbolic, because man is always compared to a tree, of an evil person, where will you find him? Where is he metail the ozil? Where will you know, if you're looking for him, where will you find him located? And the answer is, Gabikina de Sarche. he's found amongst the Lanos Rak. He's found under other people who are called Anoshim Betelim. So bad people are found amongst bad people. That's where they locate themselves. And Rashi says that Surchi means Betelim. This is based on a Gemara at the end of Bava Basra. Gavad is Surchi, Adam Batel. Adam Batel means a person who really has no contribution to make to society. And the Kina de Sirche, that's a makom, that's a place where these batlanim hang out, so to speak. You know, it's a hangout center for people who really have nothing to contribute. They're not productive members of society. Now, the Gemara chooses here to use the dekel as opposed to any other trees for the ish ra, for the adam ra, as symbolic of an evildoer. And this is also based on a Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara speaks about a bal karka, someone who owns land, and he sells a dekel. Ein lebal dekel es hageze shel dekel. What he sells is the rosh hadekel and not the geza hadekel. Right, the dekel is made up of two parts. There's the top of the tree where the fruits are growing, and there's the roots of the tree. In the case of dekel, which is unique in the constellation of trees, once he sells the rosh hadekel, then what is he left with? He's left with the geza. He's left with the roots. But once the rosh hadekel dries up and all the fruits are taken out, then the owner of the karka, who left for himself the geza, the roots, has nothing for himself. Because, as opposed to other trees, in the case of other trees, since you hold on to the roots, even if the top of the tree dries up, the roots will reproduce. Not so in the case of a dekel. And that's why we use the dekel as the symbol of an Ilan Srak, in the sense, because just like an Ilan Srak can't produce fruits, this dekel tree, once the Rosh HaDekel dries up, the Geza can no longer replenish itself. And the entire phrase here is meant to convey the ethical message that an Adam Ra, he is Nimshach Achar Chaverov. And he's compared to this dekel Ra, which can be considered as a dekel that grows amongst other Ilanos Betelim. Man is always compared to an Eitz HaSodeh because he has the capacity to produce fruits. Sometimes the fruits are better and sometimes they're worse. The Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Ki pri malaleim yochelu. Or, for example, in Mishlei it says, Vayochlu mi pri darcham. So it's possible that even if the geza, the roots of the tree are healthy, are good, and have a tremendous capacity to be productive, that makes the dekel tree very special. It really has a tremendous capacity in its geza. But sometimes, despite that fact, even though the roots are good, they're solid, with a tremendous potential, nevertheless, the dekel will produce peros royim. And that's what man is. Man has a tremendous potential. The Gemara is going to give the case of Esav, who goes to Yishmael. The shoresh of Esav is good. He was born to Yitzchak and Rivka in one stomach. He was together in the uterus with Yaakov. But yet, look at the peros that come from an Esav. And they're like that dekel who has good roots, but produces bad fruits. And just like Esav went to Yishmael, which wasn't a good move. I mean, Yishmael, in his Shoresh, in his Geza, was a Ben Shivcha. And that's where Esav was like the dekel tree that, although its Geza is healthy, when it produces bad fruits, it finds itself in close proximity, going on hikes and hanging out with the Ilan Srak, with the Ilan that doesn't have in its roots a great potential. Amalei Rabba responds to Rava, Davar zekasu v'torah v'shanui b'neviim u'mishulash b'ksuvim. You'll find it over and over again, not just in this idiomatic phrase of the Amri Inchi, but you'll find it in Torah, in Neviim, in Ksuvim. And not only that, utnan v'masnisin, you'll find a metaphor in the Mishnah, v'sanina b'vraisa, and you can even find a source for it in the Vraisa. Now Rabba goes through these five different sources. Number one, Kasuv HaTorah, Dechsiv, the Pasuk says by Esav, in Breishis Chavches, when he went to marry another woman, Vayelech Esav El Yishmael. And the Pasuk says, Vayikach Es Machlas Bas Yishmael Al Nashav Lo Leisha. An Adam Ra, like Esav, he goes to marry the daughter of Yishmael. Yishmael is an Adam Ra. Although at the end of his life he did tshuva, but Shani B'Neviim, we'll find it in Nach, Dechsiv by Yiftach HaGil Adi, when he was rejected by his brothers from the house of their father, and as a fugitive he runs away from them in Shoftim, Perek Yud Aleph, Vayislaktu, El Yiftach HaNashim Rekim Vayiu Imo. Who are the people, what quality of people gravitate to Yiftach, who's rejected by his family? These are Anoshim Rekim. And the reason why these kind of lowlives gravitate to Yiftach is because they were equal to him. They were on the same level. And bad comes to bad. And the word emo here is an extra word in the pasuk, which means that they came because they were emo. They were like him. U'mishulash b'ksuvim, and we have a pasuk in ksuvim. Now, exactly what the word ksuvim means in this context is a bit of a problem, to say the least, because there is no such pasuk. Dechsiv kol of lemino yishkon uvene adam la domelo, that an oaf, a bird, lives amongst its own species, its own types of birds, and an Adam, who is not divided up into different species, he's one species, one Homo sapien, nevertheless, he lives amongst those who are like him on an ethical basis, meaning bad people live amongst bad people who are of the same ilk. And the Mefarshim say that this, so to speak, verse comes from a book called Ben Sira, which was authored by Ben Sira, the son of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And the word Sira has the same gematria as Yirmiyahu. And the Ma'aril is famous for saying that there is Chachma in this book. The Ma'aril tells us the story about the birth, how Ben Siru was born to Yirmiyahu, and Rav Yosef in Sanhedrin is of the opinion that you're not allowed to read Sfarim Chitzonim. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of Divrei Havai, meaningless words and verses in the Sfarim Chitzonim that crop for this is that outside of the realm of Tanakh. And that's going to be Bittul Torah. But Rav Yosef also says there in Sanhedrin that there are good drushas that you can get from these Sfarim. And it seems that we can use some of these verses from the Sfarim Chitzonim, and the rabbis could use them in their drushas, in their public sermons. It Tosfos and the Rashba assume that even this mimer that we're reading, which is to be found in Ben Sira, is used here as a source to convey the message that bad people gravitate to their same min. Upnei adam ladomelo. Anashim roim shochnim etzel roim kemosam. Tnan b'masnisin, where do we find a symbol of this concept, of this ethical idea in a Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in the 12th parak of Kelim. And the Mishnah establishes a principle, Kol HaMechubar L'Tameh, Tameh, V'Kol HaMechubar L'Tar, Tar. The idea is to have a Chibur to Tara. So if you have something that in and of itself is not Mekabel Tumah, that's called a Mechubar L'Tar, Tar. And if you have something that's Mekabel Tumah, is Mechubar L'Tameh. So a davar makabel tuma is tamei. If you have something that's connected to a davar makabel tuma, then it too has the capacity to be makabel tuma. If you have something that's mechubar to something which is not makabel tuma, then it too is not makabel tuma. And this is a mashal for a person who connects himself, he's mechaber to adam acher, mischaber to adam acher, he becomes like him. Whether he himself is tar, he himself is a pure soul, or he's tamei, the very moment that he connects himself to someone who's tamei, that is going to bring him down to the level of tumah. And this principle that's codified in the Mishnah in Kelim is based on the concept of bittul. Something is batel when it's mischaber to something else. So for example, you have the case of a menorah that is made of wood. Wood is not makabel tumah. Kli eitz is not makabel tumah. It doesn't have a base kibul in this case. It's what's called pshutei kli eitz, which is not makabel tumah. But if it connects itself, if it's mischaber, What was connected to this menorah? A masmer mateches, something that's made of metal. And if it's connected to this menorah, which is pshute kliyetz, it's not makabel tumah. If it was connected to a shulchan, which is a regular classical case of a davar makabel tumah, then it's batel and it's makabel tumah. And this concept that a person is nimshach, he's connected and his status is impacted by those who he connects with, is really the famous Rabbeinu B'chai, who gives an introduction to Parshas Lech Lecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu to go far away from these people because he's going to be influenced by these people, with the mashal of someone who goes into a tannery and he picks up that bad smell and it becomes nidbak bo. V'sanina, we learned in a brisa, the Chachamim say that Zarzir, which is some sort of a kosher bird, according to the Chachamim, but Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no, the Zarzir is a non-kosher bird. Lo lechinam holach ha-Zarzir etzel ha-orev. Why do you find that the Zarzir hangs out amongst the ravens? Elam b'neishu mino. Apparently the Zarzir, who lives amongst the ravens, the Orvim, is to be classified, according to Rabbi Eliezer, as a ben mino. He belongs to that species of ravens. And therefore, the status of this zarzir is the same identical status as that as the orvim, and it's an ov tomei. And the oruch says that a zarzir is a min orev katan. It's a younger or smaller version of a raven. And so too, when an Adam is mischaber with another person, he becomes similar to him, and he picks up his ethical negative qualities. So we have to be very careful about the people we hang out with. Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mari Minan and Milsa Diari Inshi Kareis Chavrech V'lo Anach. If you call out to your friend, meaning you want to give him rebuke for something evil that he perpetrated, and he doesn't respond to you because he's not interested in hearing what you have to say. The Meiri writes here, Shuv ein tzarch lochicho. If he's not responding to you, that's it. You're finished. You don't have any continuous obligation to seek after him and try to rebuke him and chastise him. Rami Guda Rabash Debe. Aguda is a fence or a wall. Rabba means it's substantial in its size, it's great. And Rame means shadebe, throw it over him. In other words, topple on top of him a very heavy wall. If he doesn't want to listen to your tochacha for his evil, then just basically reject him. And he himself will fall based on his rishus, on his evil. And as we said before, the Meiri says at this point, you're no longer obligated, you're exonerated from your obligation to give him tochacha. And the Maral in his Chidush HaGadol points out that this is a midah k'neged midah. Since he rejected your tochacha, you reject him. And that's what it means to push the wall over him. So he's beyond the wall. And the Gra has what's called Biuri HaGadol, and he bases himself on his Zohar. The Zohar says that the first time you give tochacha b'seser in private, the second time in front of the person's relatives, and the third time, if it doesn't work, you give him tochacha publicly. And if even then, at that point, he doesn't leave you, he doesn't accept your chastisement, he still rejects, he's not interested in listening to you, then let him fall down in his rishus. However, based on a Gemara in Erechin, the Nachlas Moshe points out that only when he beats you up, or he curses you, or he's nasefo, only at that point are you allowed to leave him and let him fall in his rishus. But up until that point, you have to continue in giving him tochacha. The mitzvah is hocheach tochiach, the double language, is Chazal say, afilu mea pa'amim ad sheyishma, keep repeating the tochacha until finally he accepts it. And therefore the heter to curtail or terminate your tochacha only applies, is only chal after mea pa'amim, and he's make, he's mekal, he's nosef bo. The Rush explains that im karasa l'chavrcha lodun bedina yisrov l'oratza lover, that this idiomatic phrase is a metaphor for a situation in which you subpoenaed your friend to come to a Bezdin Shel Yisrael, to a Jewish court, and he refuses. He doesn't want to show up in a Jewish court. So at that point, you can push the wall over him, which means you have permission to subpoena, to sue him in a non-Jewish court, because you don't have to suffer a loss. So it means that if a person refuses to come to a Din Torah, you're permitted to sue him in a non-Jewish court, which is called Archos Shel Akum. I mean, obviously for that you have to know the dinim, but the Rosh sees in this sugya a source for that. Amalei, Rabba responds, what's the source for this? And these are the words of Hashem to Knesset Yisrael in Yechezkel Chavtal, Yan Tihartich V'lo Tihart Mitumasech Lo Titari Od Ad Hanichias Chamosi Bach. Klal Yisrael did not want to do tshuva. They did not want to receive and accept the tochach of the Nevi'im. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to be docha you, I'm going to push you, and then you won't be able to do tshuva until you'll be punished. And only then, Yitaru Me'avonam, only the terrible Chas V'Shalom, the punishment and the suffering, will bring them back and purify them. Again, there are a lot of different dinim over here that have to be studied. The Gemara is only giving us, in a sense, broad strokes. And a person has to accept tochacha. I mean, that's the basic concept here. That's the message that's being conveyed here. That we have to be sensitive to receive and open to receive tochacha, to receive rebuke. And we have to give rebuke when necessary. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is warning us, the Nevi'im are warning us, if you don't accept the tochacha, the Nevi'im, and you're not willing to purify yourselves and repent, then hanichias chamasi bach, chas v'shalom, there'll be divine wrath against Klal Yisrael. And today is the first day of Chodesh El, which is the month of tshuva, to prepare ourselves for Shani Yom Kippur. And therefore it's appropriate that on this day we study this Gemara that puts so much significance and wait on the obligation to receive tochacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to do tshuva. Amalei Rava L'Rabba Bar Mori Minane Milsi D'Amri Inchi. What's the source for the phrase, the common colloquial phrase, Beira Dishasis Mine a bar, which is a cistern of water, and you drink from its water when you're and you've already in the past drunk from this water to quench your thirst. Lo tishte be kola. Don't throw into this bar a gush. Gush is a clump of dirt, and you will then pollute the water of this bar. In other words, if you had benefit from something on one occasion, you should recognize and appreciate that source of goodness. That's called a mid of Hakar Satov, and you should never be mevaza it. The Rimi Gash says over here, Lo tigmol ra lebar shenenes mimenu. This is a mashal. If you gain something, even something minimal, on one occasion from a person, then you should never cause that person any sort of harm. You should not be the cause of harm. And he brings a story from his Rebbe, the Rif. The Meiri points out that Ha'osekein ha'rezebora p'chisus midosav. If somebody does evil and harm to someone who did him good and gave him a benefit of toeles, that is indicative of the lowest of midos of a person. He has the teva, says the Meiri, of a signon pachus v'nimas. He's a repulsive guy. It's like other Rishon says, Aisha asher nasata imadi. You know, he blames the woman that you gave me for the sin. And this is the central concept of Hakaras HaTov. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Musa giant, the Rashiv of Mir, dedicates an entire beautiful lecture to prove, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't hit the earth because the earth covered the Mitzri and so on, how far reaching the mid of Hakaras HaTov goes, even towards something that's domain, an inanimate object, but you benefited from it. Don't go back and injure it, so to speak. Don't hit it, to smite it. And once you had this benefit, you have to be makir tov, not to be an ingrate, but to a person who has gratitude, not to embarrass something, not to injure it because you got benefit from it. That's called hakaras hatov, and that is a basic midah of a person. Amalei Rabba says, where's the source for this? Dechsiv, it says in the pasuk, towards the end of Chumash, Lo tesavev adomi ki achichahu v'lo tesayev mitzri ki ger hayisa bi'artzo. That you should not have disdain even to the adomis. Now, when we talk about lo tesayev mitzri, to the mitzri, I mean, these are nations of the world that perpetrated evil against us. I mean, the mitzrim took our male children and threw them into the Yaar. And you would think that we should be mavaza them, we should humiliate them, but nevertheless the Torah says, lo tesayev mitzri. And why? Because that's where the Jewish people at the time of the Rav, at the time of the great famine in the land of Canaan, in the land of Egypt, they came down and they found an achsanya, they found a host country in Mitzrayim. So imagine, we have to express hakaras hatov even to these anti-Semitic peoples, even to the Mitzrim who subjugated us. Amalei Rav L'Rav Bar Mari Minani Milsi D'Yamri Inchi E D'Les Dura Dolina Im Tagbia Imias Hamasa. If you can help me, you know, lend a shoulder and lift up my burden with me, Dolina, I'll be able to successfully lift it. But Elo, if not, if you don't want to help me out, Lo Dolina, the burden is too heavy for me to carry. In other words, a person does not want to enter into a situation which involves the possibility of harm by lifting up this great burden, and he doesn't want to accept that all and carry it on his shoulder, but if his friend is willing to be mishtatef with him, to participate in the carrying of this burden, then and only then is he able to do so. And this is what psychologically the nefesh ha'adam needs, some sort of a friend to commensurate with him, to identify with his tzaros. And this is our obligation, to be mishtatef within, to be nosei v'ol chavero. Amalei Rabbah says, the tziv, the source for this, is in Shoftim, in the case of Dvorah HaNeviah. She turns to Baruch ben Avinoam, in terms of the battle against Sisro, and she says, Vayomer Eleha Baruch, im telchi imi, is vahalachti, v'im lo telchi imi lo selech. So again, Dvorah tells Baruch to go out and battle against Sisro. And Baruch responds by saying, you know what, if you'll join, if you will be notel, if you be notel al atzmech, you know, the all of this will come, you'll take upon yourself the burden, even though it's a very dangerous kind of battle, then I can go out and do battle. And even Dvorah went out to be mishtatef b'nesias ol. And that's what gave Baruch the, you know, projected, he was able to project himself, to energize himself, to face this tremendously dangerous military campaign, because he had the empathy and the participation of Dvorah the Neviah. And it doesn't mean that Dvorah's participation here was something that you could measure and in a tangible, physical way, biologically, you know, in the world of nature. A woman doesn't go out to battle. And not only that, the success in the battle against Sisro was based on a divine promise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised. But nevertheless, there is this principle, this ethical principle of Shnayim Nosim Bi'ol. When two people participate together in the Nesias Ol, in carrying the great burden, is then mazolam gadol. They have a great chance for success. Yoser latzliach. That's why in this week's parasha that we read yesterday, parashas Re'eh, in the mitzvah of tzedakah, there's so much emphasis on speaking to the ani, encouraging him. The words that you share with the ani, the attitude of the nosein, is so much more important even than the nesina itself. And this applies not just to an ani in the financial sense, someone who's destitute, but to someone who's in need of an encouraging word, to be nosei v'ol, to indicate that you feel for his pain. And that's a critical moral message here that's derived from the pasuk in Shoftim and the idiomatic phrase. If you'll be able to carry the burden with me, how far can we go? Omalei Rav Ola Rabba Bar Mori Minani Milsi the Amri Inshi Kad Havinen Zutri Legavri Hashta the Kashishna Ludardiki. In my youth, they considered us as if we were older people. We were strong people. We were giborim. But now that we've gotten old, they look at us as children, as tinokos. A young person thinks that he successfully in his youth gathered together otzros, treasures of chachma, of wisdom. He thinks he's very wise, but when he gets older and he becomes a more mature, a perfect person, he begins to realize in his zikna that he hasn't even touched the ktsei, the tip of the iceberg he hasn't reached in chachma and das, which he thought himself as a cotton to be such a chacham. You know, the famous phrase that we say that the 14-year-old thinks that his father knows nothing. And then by the time he's mature, at the age of 17, 18, he says to his dad, "Dad, I realized in the last 3-4 years you really became wise." As we grow older, we realize what wisdom is all about. We realize how vast knowledge is, and especially in Torah. Omalei Rabba responds from the parasha of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar Meikara, at the beginning when they left Mitzrayim, Ksiv, it says, Vashem holech lifneim yomam b'amud anon l'nachosam haderech v'layla b'amud eish lahoyer lahem. The Jewish people considered of great stature, great status. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'yatzmo, in himself, he goes to accompany them during the day with the Amud Hanan. He accompanies them at night with the Amud Eish, ulubasof. But you know, that's the Klal Yisrael in their youth. But later on, as they mature, unfortunately, they're guilty of the chet ha'egel. And Ksiv, and now the Torah says, and here we turn to Daf Tzadi Gimel. Hine Anochi Sholeach Malach Lefanecha L'Shomra Badorech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, after the Chet HaEgel, I'm going to send a Malach to protect you, to bring you into the land of Israel. I'm not going to bring you personally. Moshe, of course, responds with tefillah, with prayer, and he's able to push off, to stave off, and postpone this decree, at least as long as he's alive. And the Pasuk says in Shmos Lamed that the Malach only came at the time of Yehoshua, and that you'll see in Yehoshua Perkei. But in any event, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that I will send my Malach, a high-powered Malach, Matatrog, to accompany you into the land of Israel. And it's no longer to be the Amud Ha'anan and the Eish. And this means that in a person's youth, he's considered chashuv, but later on, in his older age, he's considered like a child. Lachain roy l'davar pachos mi'ula. He's not fit for a high stature and a kind of expression of dignity that he may have been worthy of in his youth. The Medrash quotes another metaphor here on a tarnagoles, a young hen, and it's being fed and sustained by its mother, who puts mizonos into its mouth. But when this young chick grows up, then the mother treats it differently, and even hurts it, makos, in order that the young hen should now feed itself. So the young person, a young human being in the Nimshal, he has total reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the young nation of Israel when they left Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his Hashgacha Pratis, leads the person. And the person can lean on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the nation of Israel can rely on Hashem. But as the person matures and he develops a sense of his own confidence, he's no longer, or he sees himself as no longer totally dependent upon Hashgach Hashem, then in turn, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's supervision and protection for him is more limited. There's a quid pro quo relationship. You find, for example, the Kruvim that are on the Aron Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, they looked like babies. And that was a remez that a person in his youth needs the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah was shorah between the Kruvim. A young person is totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu as he grows older, and he's meant to stand on his own two feet. And now he has to implement what he has to implement. He's no longer a child. He can't be totally boteach by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, you know, God, you're going to do everything for me. No, now man has the responsibility on his shoulders to take the initiative. Amalei Rabbah. Omale Ravo La Rabba Bar Mori Minani Milsidi Amri Inchi Basar Mori Nichse Tsivi Mishach. In other words, be Nimshach after someone who has Nechasim. Knows you should link yourself up to an Asher, to a Baal Nechasim, someone who's rich, and try to get involved in his business deals, see if you can participate, and that's how you're going to. You're going to be rich. You're going to make money. So you should be nigrar achar bal nechasim. You should be schlepped along and gravitate towards a person who has schora, he has properties, has merchandise. He's in retail business. He sells and he buys. And if you'll be nimshach, if you'll get involved in his business dealings, if he'll take you on, even in a lowercase partner, then you'll become a bal mamon. You'll be successful. And this is also a Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Karev legabi dehina videhen," to be miscarried to someone who's so to speak fat and well oiled, and you also will be shamed. You'll be well oiled. So you should be dovek in a bal hamama. His chaver liyosher bal nechasa. Amalei, Rabbah responds, Dichsiv, the source for this is Lot in Bereishis Yud Gimel. Gam Lot haholichas Avram haya, gam Lot haholichas Avram haya tzon ubakar v'yalim. The Torah added these words, haholich es Avram, to emphasize the gam Lot haya tzon ubakar. How is it that Lot also became wealthy with cattle and so forth? It's because he was holich es Avram. He was the Nachshleper who linked himself up and connected himself with Avram. And the reason for Lot's success and wealth is because he was a Holech as Avram. He connected himself to the Baal Hamamon. Now, before, on Daf Tzadi Beis, we had a discussion about being Mevakesh Rachmim Al Chavero, that someone should, even though he's in need, he should pray on behalf of his friend who has that same need. And yet the petitioner, the davener, will be nenet chila. And the Gemara brings, in a sense, a kind of flip side, maimar, Omar Rav Hanan at this point, ha moser din al chavero hu nenash tchila. If a person stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's moser din, that means he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take it out on so-and-so. And so I really should sue him in a court of law. But in the absence, in the failure, in my failure to do so, I'm taking my case to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm asking Hashem to mete out punishment against so-and-so. Is hu nenesh tchila? HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish the person who is asking God to punish Yenim before he punishes Yenim. Because when a person comes in front of Hashem and demands justice and he demands a din, then God says, who are you to demand justice and punishment against so-and-so? Let's see what your status is. And God starts looking into his credentials and his book of records. And this is really a punishment, says the Shita Mekubetzes, for the fact that he wasn't Toveim first in a Bezdin. He was Moser Dino LaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he has this extra sin now, that Mitztareif Avon Zeshel Chaver Lavanosov. Wow, he's going to get punished for this. And he is, by praying to God to bring about punishment against his friend, that's a Midav Achzorius. Again, we're not talking about asking God for Al Shidim Al Sisikva. We're talking about God, you know, praying to God to destroy the adversaries, the anti-Semites who are trying to destroy us. That's obviously an integral part of our prayers. But we're talking about two Jews who live together in a community, and one is praying that Hashem should mete out punishment against his friend. That's a terrible thing. And he, the one who's praying, who's Moser Din LaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Chaveru, he is going to be punished first. Shenemar. And Rav Hanan finds a source for this in Bereishis Tezayin. This is the case of Hagar, who becomes pregnant from Avram. And you remember that it was Sarah who agreed that Avram could have this relationship with Hagar. And she, Hagar, as a result of the fact that she's a big shot, now she's pregnant, where Sarah couldn't have a child, she's mezalzel in Sarah. And she looks down in a disdainful way on Sarah. And this is, again, obviously before Sarah had a child. But Tomer Sarai El Avram. Sarai comes with a gripe to Avram Avinu. And she says, Chamasi Olecha. And the end of the pasuk is, Anochi Nasati Shivchasi Bechekecha. Vatera ki harasa va'akel be'enel yishpot Hashem be'ni uve'necha. So she comes with to Avram the Tviya, and her Tviya is that here I gave you Hagar, my Shivcha, and as a result she becomes pregnant at V'akel Beinera. And in a sense, what brought Sarah to this claim against Avram? It was Hataina, the base of Hataina. So Rashi explains in Chumash that here I was mispal for Bonim, and you, Avram Avinu, said, Matitein li v'anochi holecha riri. You came in front of the Ribbono Shelom with all the emphasis on yourself, anochi holecha riri. You didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch to have children from me, meaning from Sarah, but to have children. And at the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Sarah responded to your prayers, and you were able to have a child, not from me, but from Hagar. And she, Sarah, was Moseres Din on Avram Avinu. Now, the truth is that Uksiv, that here Rav Chanan needs another pasuk. And that is Vayavo Avram Lispod Lisara Vlivkosa, which means that after Sarah was Moseres Din and Tviat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she had on Avram, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by bringing about the ultimate demise of Sarah, she dies. And her din against Avram, as we said before, was that he heard her bizyonos and he did nothing about it. The reason why Rav Chanan needs a raya dafka from this pasuk, even though there are many other psukim that indicate that Sarah died, for example, it says, V'achar kein kovar Avram es Sarah ishto, v'ayinochim Yitzchak achar imo, v'yosef Avram, v'yikach isha. Many psukim indicate that Sarah died, but the choice of this particular pasuk is because here there's a remez that Sarah should have lived as long as Avram should have lived, and yet she died prematurely before his death, and this was because she was Moseres Din on Avram. The pasuk says Vayavo Avram Lispod. In other words, it doesn't say Avram Safad. It says Vayavo Avram Lispod, meaning when she died, he didn't know about it. He was taken by surprise. He only found out later. And therefore, even though Avram Avinu suffered, obviously, a tremendous punishment by losing his wife, but nevertheless, because that's the principle, Ein Isha Mesa L'Bailo, but nevertheless, she was punished first, and she died prematurely. She should have lived to Avram Avinu's ripe old age. And the Gemara says, Vahani Mili De Islay Dina Biara. This violation, this terrible thing of being Moseh Din LaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Al Chaver, that only applies if he could be Tovea, his friend, in a Beis Din. He could have taken him to a court. And instead of doing so, he was Moseh Din LaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if he has no wherewithal, he has no recourse to a lawsuit in Beis Din, then he's allowed to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his Mesiras Din. Now, you might ask, well, how does this apply in the case of Sarah? Apparently, there was a Beis Din at the time of Sarah. If you take a look at Tosfos Dira Masel Ika on the top of the page, that was the Beis Din of Shem Ben Noach. The Ran adds another piece over here. He says, Afim ain't bezin shiach l'tvah about tzarech loma l'chaveres tanosiv l'fneishem mosor l'kadosh baruch hu. He claims that even if there is a bezdin, I'm sorry, even if there is no bezdin, nevertheless, first you have to come to your friend with your taina, hocheach tochiach, and hopefully your friend will ask you for forgiveness and will pacify you. And the other Rishonim point out that if a person was toveah, his friend, to bezdin, and it didn't help, For example, his friend, even though he was subpoenaed, he refused to come to court, as we discussed earlier, then he could be Moser Dino L'Shamayim. He has no other recourse to save himself from the constant pegiah that his friend is putting him through. Then he could turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oilo latsoek Yosef ben Anitzak. Woe is to a person who is tsoek, who yells out HaKadosh Baruch Hu against his friend who is being matzik him more than the Nitzak. In other words, his situation is worse, even though he's crying out because he's being persecuted, than the situation of the Nitzak, because he will be punished first. And that's because of this principle of Hamoser Dino Al Chaver Nenash Tchila. Because once he's Tzoik Al Chavero, he'll be judged up in Shamayim. Let's see how great you are that you're trying to judge your friend. Tanya Nami Hachi, we had such a principle in a Braisa with regard to the Avera, the Iser of Inui, Almana of Yasam, which is in Parshas Mishpatim, Mishmos Chav Beis. The Pasuk says, Im Ane Ta'ane Oso, Ki Im Ta'ok Yitzak Elai, Shamoa Eshma Tzakoso, Vechora Api Vaharati Eschem. And emphasize the word Eschem here in the plural. This almana, this widow, or the yosom, the orphan is crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the response is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, I will listen to that tzaka, but yet, v'chara api, there will be divine wrath, eschem, for both of you. And the Braisa says, echad atzoek, the almana, the yosom, who's yelling out of pain. These are people who are very sensitive. The Echad HaNitzak, and the person who brought about that suffering, B'mashma, they're all included under the onesh of the Chara Api. Because the Eschem B'loshen Rabim indicates that both the Tzoik and the Nitzak. El Memarin Shememarin Latzoek Yotzer Min HaNitzak. Just as we found by Sarah that she died before Avram Avinu because she yelled out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she was punished first, so too the Tzoik will be punished even before the Nitzak. And a person is karov lebakosho so yosef me'achirim. A person, when he cries out to Hashem, if he's crying out to save someone, a salvation for someone, he is functioning now as the conduit to bring divine compassion, the conduit, the tzinar, the pipeline, is ma'orer rachmim not only on chaver but also on himself. And in the opposite, in the flip side, if he's ma'orer din al chavero and he becomes the conduit, the pipeline to bring about divine harsh justice and meeting out punishment, he becomes injured. He is going to suffer first. And when Rabbi Yochanan says memarin latsoek yosemanim, that he had he not cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish his friend, if he would be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me from the anguish that's being perpetrated against me by my friend, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have responded to him. But now, as a result of the fact that he's not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for tshuva, for Yeshua, from his friend, but rather he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about punishment to his friend, he's not going to be Nene b'tfiloso. On the contrary, he's bringing upon himself din. Tanya nami hachi, we also, and that's what we saw in the Braisa. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, now the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, here's another statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. We olam al tehi kilas hejot kala beinecha. If a person, even though he's a hejot, he's really on the lower echelons, and yet he curses you, be careful about his curse. Sharei Avimelech, who took Sarah, we discussed this in the last year, he didn't know that she was the wife of Avram. Kilel es Sarah. He cursed Sarah because she didn't reveal that she was the wife of Avram. Miniskayim Bizarra. And that klola came to fruition in the descendants of Sarah Shenemar. It says by Avimelech, who says to Sarah in Bereshis Perkov, Hine hu lecha hu lach ksus einayim. And what does it mean, ksus einayim, a covering over the eyes? Omar la, he said to her, hoel v'kisisa, you covered my eyes, mimeni, by not revealing. V'lo gilis shehu, meaning he, Avram, is he sheikh, is your husband, is v'garamte laya tzara zeh, in the aftermath, you brought about me and my whole household such tsar, if you remember, we weren't able to have children and so forth and so on, is yiratzon shehei loch b'nei kisuye einayim, that your descendants should be kisuye einayim, they should be blind. That was the curse of Avimelech to Sarah, miniskayim b'zara, and it was fulfilled, it came to pass in her children, in Yitzchak, as the pasuk says, v'yihi kizok in Yitzchak v'techena einov miraos, that Yitzchak became blind. He was exus ekisuy einayim, his eyes were covered. And all this is because of the klola of Avimelech to Sarah. The Ben Ish Chai has a slightly different version of this Gemara, and that is that the klola of Avimelech was on the children, that the children should be sumim, but he was mekalel even her, even Sarah, and he wanted that Sarah's children should be sumim, they should be blind bechayeh, that she also should suffer the anguish of seeing her children in a lifetime becoming blind. He never said that her children should become blind, but rather he said, again going back to the pasuk, hinehu loch, the emphasis on loch, that you should have children that are blind. So it's not just a curse on the children. Her tsar would be so great, it would be as if she were blind. She participates and identifies with the tsar. But that, he wasn't successful. But part of the klola, namely that ultimately Yitzchak would become Iver, not during the lifetime of Sarah, that came to pass. So Altia Kilas Hejod Kalabe Necha Omer Abavo Li Olam Yehi Odom in our Nirdofim Velo min our Rodfim. A person should be a Nirdof rather than a Rodef. Let him be chased rather than chase others. In other words, even if the Nirdof could save himself by being rodef after the rodef, if he can avoid doing so, again, if it's pikuach nefesh, he has to be a rodef, and it's a mitzvah of killing the rodef. But if all things are equal and he can avoid being a rodef, then he should be a nirdof. You know, that's the famous statement that's attributed, the declaration to Golda Meir, who is prime minister of Israel, that she cannot forgive the Arabs for making our children, our Jewish children, into killers, because we had to kill. She'ein lecha nirdof bi'ofos yoser mitorim u'bnei yona. That there are two birds called the torim and the bnei yona that are very small birds, very weak birds, and they are nirdofim. And yet, v'chshiron hakosuv l'gabi mizbeach. God loves the underdog, so to speak, the one who's being persecuted. And the Torim and Bnei Yona, the small doves, are kashal mizbeach. They come on the mizbeach. There are other birds that might be kashal achila, but they're larger birds, and they are not ru'uyim, they are not suitable for hakrova al-gabi mizbeach. Now, at this point, we end the Agadata, and we go back to our Mishnah, and this is going to be a discussion about Chovel, and if a person tells someone, he charges him to be Chovel Bo, whether the person is allowed to do so, does he have to pay damages, is there Mechila, etc., etc. And that's going to be, Emir Tzashem, the last piece of Gemara here in Perek HaChovel, and we'll leave this for the next Shia, Emir Tzashem, to make a Siyum on Perek Shmini, on Perek HaChovel, so that we could start the ninth Perek, Perek HaGozel Eitim, Bekarov Emir Tzashem, B'siyata D'shmai.